Good morning, guys. I was wondering if there's a pulse out there. We'll do calisthenics here in a little bit. Hey, we finished up a series on worship, and we're going to be jumping into a new series today, but this is the handout that I told y'all we would have eventually for those worship words. And so if you are interested in some of those, there are plenty of them. And I'll just set them right here. You can grab them if you want them. Amen? Well, we're going to jump into a new series here. And let me just say that I don't know how long this series is going to be, but we'll know when we're done. Amen? And so what we're talking about this morning is the heart of giving. And so if you have your Bibles with you, you'll need to look up two different places. It'll be Matthew 14 and John 6, but I'm going to open up with Malachi. And whenever we talk about the heart of giving, what we're really talking about, it's really a celebration of who we are as a church, because this is very much a giving church, always has been. And the Harvest Movement has always been very much of a giving community. And really, it's a celebration of who we are. It's a celebration of what God has done, and really this series for me personally really connects to several different miracles that I've seen God do in the realm of finances as well as within the body of churches. And so I'm going to jump off right here so part one, the title of this first step or first message in this series is called Open Heaven. Open heaven. Malachi 3:10. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down a blessing for you until there is no more need. One of the first things in my own life that, especially right after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, one of the very first things that God really began to lay a foundation in my heart for was giving. And my first ministry job was to be an intern, a youth intern to my former youth pastor, as he was serving up at First Baptist in Dalhart, Texas. And so, and the arrangement was, or agreement was that I would come and work for free for the entire summer. Now, this is a little bit concerning because the following year I was going to go to Wayland to go to school, and I was like, I don't know how this is going to happen because brother's going to end up in a lot of debt going to school, you know. But I knew it was God's leading, and so I went for it. I went and took the job. I was going to work for free. I spent part of the time living in the youth pastor's home, another part of the time living in an attic. So it was a very warm summer. But needless to say, I was approaching the end of my time there, and it was really my first summer to be away from my parents because I hadn't lived away from home before, and so. So it was kind of hard on all of the family dynamic, and so, but my parents decided that they were going to come up and come see me. And I, at this moment in time, I had no money. I mean, I'm not talking about like a little money. I'm going like, I had no money. I was so pumped that my parents came up. It was just like right on time because my folks, as they were leaving that weekend, they gave me a $100 bill. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I can eat on this for a long time. Because that's all I really cared about at that moment in time was groceries, you know. And there was a little Chinese food restaurant there in town that I frequented whenever I did have money. The next morning was Sunday morning at church, and I'm sitting there in the pew, and we're coming to the offering time, and I just felt a tug on my heart, and God asked me, he says, do you trust me? Yes, Lord, you know I do. I trust you. He goes, put it all in. And I'm going, what? Like, I don't know, you know. And so, like, and so the plate, you know, and that tradition, you know, you pass the offering plate, and that plate was getting closer and closer and closer. I'm feeling all this pressure, you know. And so finally, I conceded, and I go, okay, God. And I just threw it all in. And as soon as I dropped it in and passed the plate, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. He says, do not think I will not return it to you 100-fold. And I go, okay, God. And so it goes on, and I just held on to that word. And I kid you not, like, as soon as I left the church, I had no idea where my next meal was coming from. I didn't know what I was going to do. And so as soon as church was over, someone invites me to lunch. As the week progressed, as it was my final week there, I was going to report to college the very next week. But as the week progressed, there was one envelope after one card after one little note with money in it. And there was this one experience after another, and nobody signed anything. It was just one gift after another gift after another gift. And then by the time, and this is the other part of the agreement, that the church was going to take up a love offering for me on my last Sunday there. And so they take up this love offering. And so the Monday morning coming around, so it's a total of 8 days altogether. So the following Monday, I looked at the check that was given me. And by the time I looked at that check, and all of the sum total of gifts that had come to me within that week's time was $10,000. And so I was able to pay for my first year of college out of that. And, you know, I'm going, like, what kind of summer job does a kid get when, you know, making that? But I mean, but what God began to teach me in that moment of how important it is to obey, how important it is even to take risks. Because see, whenever we take risks out of a place of obedience, not stupid risk, but risk out of obedience, how God can supernaturally begin to move on our behalf. And so the big idea as we kind of unpack this message this morning is this, is that heaven has unlimited resources for the risk-taking, obedient heart. So one of the biggest obstacles in learning what it means to live in and live under an open heaven, especially in regards to the issue of finances, is the poverty spirit. The poverty mindset is something that in many ways that we all can struggle with from time to time. But you see, heaven knows no poverty. There is nothing impoverished about heaven. You know, the economy of heaven will never be in deficit. There's no trade wars in heaven. There's no economic sanctions in heaven, right? And so it knows no poverty. See, if heaven can pave its streets with gold, then I would think the economy of heaven is pretty secure. You know what I'm saying? I'm going, if you're making the roads out of gold, times are good. Are you hearing me? Times are good. But see, God doesn't worry about the light bill because he is light. But at the same time, for us, as men, we have a hard time relating to the resource of heaven that is available. And there's a quote out of this book called The Soul of Money, Lynn Twist. She refers to the poverty mindset as the great lie. And I want to read you this thought of the day is, I didn't get enough sleep. I actually thought that this morning. The next one is I don't have enough time. Whether true or not, that thought of not enough occurs to us automatically before we even think to question or examine it. We spend most of the hours in the days of our lives hearing, explaining, complaining, or worrying about what we don't have enough of. Before we even sit up in bed, before our feet touch the floor, we're already inadequate, already behind, already losing, already lacking something. And by the time we go to bed at night, our minds are racing with the litany of what we didn't get or what we didn't get done that day. So we go to sleep burdened by those thoughts and wake up to that reverie of lack. This internal condition of scarcity, this mindset of scarcity, lives at the very heart of our jealousies, our greed, our prejudice, and our arguments with life. Can you connect to that? See, the poverty mindset is actually a great lie that's robbing us and disconnecting us from the truth of what it means to be living in under an open heaven. See, the poverty mindset is the shame and the pride of lack. The poverty mindset says, I don't have enough. I will never have enough. I will never be able to afford that. See, a poverty mindset feels a hint of shame whenever we buy something good. For instance, if somebody compliments you on your new jacket, you say, well, it was on sale. Or, I had a coupon. or, we justify it. Or then if you get a new truck or a new ride or something that you're going like, man, this is awesome. And somebody compliments you on that, and you go like, well, I got a great deal. I talked him down. I won, you know. And so there's this level of shame and embarrassment that we deal with whenever we have sin come our way. Say, how do you view rich people? Have you ever thought, man, rich people are arrogant? Rich people don't understand what they have. I come from the school of hard knocks. I had to work for every penny I got. So then we start taking pride in what we lack. Or at the same time, rich people are smarter than me. They just know how to do it and I don't. And then we take shame in our lack. In both instances, if we're not careful, we subtly begin to associate our personal value with the dollars that we possess or don't possess. See, the lie within the poverty mindset is essentially this: I am my source. I am my source. That lie creates a false world of scarcity, lack, fear, pride, shame, jealousy, greed, and it disconnects us not only with what heaven can do, but who we are before our Father. We miss out on understanding the value that we have before our Father, before our God. We miss out on how profoundly He makes Himself available to us and how profoundly He wants to demonstrate His own power, His own good, His own life in our life. Can you believe that God wants to demonstrate His own goodness, His blessing through your life? That gets exciting to me. So let's go ahead and start unpacking these two passages right here. We're going to be looking at the feeding of the 5,000 from Matthew's gospel and from John's. We're going to kind of hold both of these together. It's the same story from two perspectives. But we're going to see an open heaven blessing in this passage. We're going to unpack some truths here. So starting with Matthew 14, verse 15. This is going to be fun. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to Him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away and go to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. And so to put this in context, they just had a full day of miracles. People were coming to him and said, it said that Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were flocking to him. He was having compassion on the multitudes. He was healing the sick. He was restoring people's lives. And then now it came time that it was the end of the day, and the disciples are like, the people are hungry. Send them away, which is code for I'm hungry and I'm tired. I'm done, you know. But then Jesus throws out this impossible challenge to them. He says, you give them something to eat. Now flip over to John 6, verse 6. He said this to test him. He's talking to Philip right here. For he himself knew what he was going to do. Jesus knows what's up right now. He's testing them. Jesus was testing them. He knew what he was going to do. Malachi 3, what did we learn there? Money is a test. And then God says, test me now in this. And our he's saying that their faith is about to be put to test. Our faith is put to test in whenever it comes to money, whenever it comes to resource. See, there's going to be times in our walk with God that you're going to come to an impossible situation, and God's going to tell you, you give them something to eat. But that poverty voice inside of us is going off in us saying that I'm the source. How am I to be able to do this? We turn and look at our own abilities and our own power, and we come up lacking. And whenever we view ourselves with that poverty mindset and that I'm the source, automatically we just put a lid on what heaven can do. But see, because in heaven's economy, the impossible is always possible. There aren't any limits. So why would God test us in this way? Because he's mean? No. See, God puts us in a test to draw out our faith. He draws out the richness of who he is in us in a test. He draws out, forges, and forms our character in a test. He will, because of a test, it positions us for him to take us where we've never been before. Because see, it's only in a test, in the trial of our faith, in the utilization of our faith, of putting our faith, making our faith where the rubber meets the road in real life situations, does our faith get really drawn out. That's why he tests us. And so he doesn't test us in order for us to fail. He tests us to take us higher. So that you and I can have what we never had before. Out of love, he tests us. Verse 7. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. A crouton. They're not going to get nothing. And so Philip, he makes this calculation. And so one denarii is a day's wage. And he's saying, Jesus, 200 days worth of work, worth of effort, worth of man's ability, would not even be enough to feed these people. Possibly somewhere in the ballpark, he's saying, Jesus, $20,000 to $40,000 right now would not be able to feed all of these people, not even to have a little. And so think about this. Jesus said to him, you give him something to eat. And so Philip's mind immediately goes into this place of like of looking at his own ability, looking at what he is, what's within their capacity, what's within the capacity of human effort, what's within the capacity of his own ability, and he says, not possible. 20,000 dollars, Jesus won't even get this done. So in this, Philip is actually confirming that Jesus' request is actually impossible. Philip is big time connecting to, I am the source. He's big time connecting to a poverty mindset. And so Jesus invites Philip into the realm of the impossible, but Philip, instead of looking at God, he looks at himself and he says, no way. But to put this in even deeper context, Philip spent the entire day with Jesus, watching him heal, watching him perform one miracle after another, watching him teach, watching him preach, just exposing the kingdom of heaven all around. He's seen one set of blind eyes after another open. But whenever it came into the place of dealing with money, he said, no way. No way. It's not possible. He checks out. Why? Money's the test. Verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has five barley loaves and two fish, but what are they for so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. And I mean, and most of us have heard the Bible story before. When you got about 5,000 men, they never counted the women or the children that were present. So that was roughly, probably, you could estimate, approximate about 10,000 people. And so, and all they have is this little boy's lunch. How many of you understand it's a bad day when the disciples of Jesus take your lunch? Where'd you get it? From a little boy, you know. So they take this little lunch, they take these five loaves and two fish, and they ask Jesus, what in the world are you going to do with that? Are you kidding me? That little was too little to even make a little difference. And so we make these judgments about what we have to offer in life, about what we have to give in life, and we say that that's so insignificant that it doesn't even matter. But it's never the size of the gift that counts. See, whenever we believe that we are the source, then it's always limited. But when we know that heaven is the source, it's regardless of the size. But when my heart is in the right place, and I'm understanding that I'm not the source, but that God is the source, then there's no limit to what God can do with that. Heaven can do great things with a little lunch. And with that little lunch, Jesus was about to feed 5,000 people something that 200 days worth of work could not do. Think about that. Jesus is about to perform a miracle. We know the story. He's about to feed 5,000 people. He's about to do something that he's going to do it worth of effort, of man's effort, could not do. He's going to do it in a moment. Come on with that. Now flip back over to Matthew 14. We'll start with verse 19. Oh, man, just buckle in. This is going to get awesome. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the five loaves and two fish, he looked up to heaven. Come on. And he said a blessing. He broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up the 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men besides the women and children. So Jesus takes this little lunch and he looks up into heaven. What is Jesus doing? He is defining his source. Man is not the source. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is the source, and he's acknowledging it right then. Jesus knew that when heaven would touch that little lunch, that a miracle would happen. That he knew what whenever heaven touched the little, that nothing would be impossible. That ought to make somebody happy. You see, when you are the source, when you look at yourself, that little lunch, the only person that's feeding is maybe you. I mean, I'm going like whenever Aaron and I were engaged, I wouldn't even hardly share my lunch with her. I'd order my own chicken dinner, and she'd like, I want to eat off of yours. I'm like, heck no, this is mine. My lunch wouldn't even feed another person. But when heaven touches that little lunch, it can do the impossible. But I want you to notice this right here. The miracle didn't manifest, didn't show up as soon as he prayed. You didn't see it. I mean, like, God didn't just go whammo and just dump a bunch of fish out of the sky. Look at this mess. You know, it wasn't none of that. A bunch of barley loaves didn't come busting out all over the place. To the hands of the disciples. And the miracle took place as the disciples were breaking bread, handing it off, one group to the next, one person to the next. It was happening right there in their hands. Heaven was happening right there in their hands, just as they were given. The miracle was happening as they were going from one family to the next, one individual to the next. God was multiplying it in their hand. The miracle was happening in their giving. And as they stepped out in obedience, faith, taking a risk, heaven was all over their hands. And the impossible was possible. See, heaven has unlimited resource for the risk-taking, obedient heart. There's a large church up in Seattle. I love this story. They were meeting in a warehouse, and they were having to tear down and set up every week, somewhere between 600 and 800 chairs every week to meet in this warehouse. And so the time had come for them to do this building project. And in their building fund, this church had saved about $100,000. And what this pastor did was so crazy. It's hard to really even kind of comprehend. And so he had the leading of the Lord on this, and he tells the people, he says, you are not the source. God is the source. But you can be a resource. And so what he did, he took all of that $100,000 and he set it out in front of the church, all the cash. He set it out. And he says, here's what we're going to do. If you've got faith to take a $100 bill, take a $100 bill and make something happen with it. If you've got faith to take $1,000, take $1,000 and go to work. Make this money, go to work. You are not the source. God is the source, but you can be a resource. And so different families came up and they grabbed $100, $1,000, and some even more than that. And from that, bake sales businesses, different businesses were actually began from this. And so that church takes that amount of money. They each get a little bit of that lunch. And they go out and they came back and were able to purchase a multi-million-dollar facility. Amazing. Here's the deal. I'm not talking about building campaigns. That's just an illustration. I'm talking about whenever heaven invades earth and we get our perspectives right and that we begin to realize that I am not my source. He is my source. And when I get my perspective right, then I begin to understand that with God, nothing is impossible. What happens to us as men, especially in the area of money, we see ourselves as the source. We see ourselves as either the producer, or maybe we see ourselves as a guy that just struggles and can't ever get ahead. Just depending upon where we are at. And I hope you gather the concept that I'm talking about something more than money this morning. But money is a test. And it's a test in which God reveals our heart. So this morning, as we try to wind up, there's a couple of things that I feel from the Lord, just even right now here in this moment, that I think firstly, God wants to just unpack, just take that poverty spirit, that poverty mindset, and just begin to yank it out of our life and realign our perspective to where we see it, that I'm not my source. He is my source. Guys, we embrace limited thinking in so many areas of our life. And we allow our disappointments and our previous experiences to define what God can actually do in our life. What would it be like for us to quit looking at our past to in order to define our reality and begin to look to His Word to define our reality? Begin to look to Him to define our reality. Because when we do that, the things that we view in life that are impossible in the kingdom of God become possible. But let me preface this with this one thing. I'm not saying, don't hear me, that you know, if you'll give $100, God is going to turn around and give you $10,000. I'm not talking that. Do you hear me? And I'm not saying that when you give, you know, that it's always going to have this kind of an outcome. What I did in that first moment, that first instance in my life, what I did was is I obeyed. That first story that I was telling you, I just obeyed. We don't give in order to get. Right? But money is a test. And we get our mindsets right on this. And we begin to see God is the source, and there's unlimited potential. Amen?